Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, I too just want to ask, Lord, that you would just continue to lead us and guide us by your Spirit. Father God, as we go through the book of Romans, it is such an interesting book, Father. It's so amazing, the things in there that are so convicting, Lord God. I'm glad that people keep coming back because it's a lot of conviction, Father. And sometimes we don't respond to it very good, but I thank you that these have. And I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would fill me now with your Spirit, Lord God. Everybody who's seated here, Father God, did not come to hear me. They came to hear you, Lord. So we ask by the power of your Spirit that you would speak forth the oracles of God, the things that lift our ears and bring joy into our heart, the things that lift our head when we're bowed down in shame before you, knowing that we're sinners and unrighteous, Lord. Then again, knowing that you are our righteousness and the faith that you've given us, we place in you, Lord, and no one else or nothing else. So, Father, teach us today. Lead us and guide us. We're open to your word and the moving of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen. As you guys know who were here last week, we were covering chapter 4. We're going to be jumping into 5, but just to kind of recap a little bit of the ending of last week, in verse 20 of chapter 4, and it says, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. Speaking of Abraham, as Paul looks back and he reminds the people about the faith that God has given us and that we're to place that faith in Jesus Christ and nothing or anyone else. And he says that Abraham did not waver. He didn't waver at the promise, you know, being divided or pulled apart when oftentimes you know that we are. Sometimes we're pulled apart by things of the flesh or things of the world, and we're wondering and wavering, God, is this going to come about? You've promised in your word, but God, I'm filled with doubt. And that's how we begin to waver, through unbelief. As it says, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strengthened in faith. When do we begin to waver? When we start to have a little bit of unbelief that God isn't going to meet our needs, that God isn't going to be there for us when he said that he would be always closer than any friend, closer than a brother. I'll never leave you nor forsake you, he says. So how do we waver? We're pulled apart by our flesh, by the world, by the enemy. But we see here that he was, rather than being pulled apart, he was strengthened in verse 20. He was strengthened in his faith. And that's what we're to do, is to be strengthened in our faith as we walk through these things that try to pull us apart. And then he gave glory to God. He was strengthened in his faith, giving glory to God. He knew that God was going to be there for him and being fully convinced. Notice that all these things happen so that he'd be strengthened in his faith, that he'd be giving glory to God and being fully convinced. Oftentimes, the trials we go through are God convincing you and me that he's there. He's allowing us to go through them so you can look towards the Maker, the Creator. Oftentimes, do we look at other people for help and we come up empty-handed? How many times do we try and be there for other people, and this is a good thing? But we need to direct always to God, always in prayer, because he's the creator of our hearts, of our soul, and he's the true comforter. He's the only one. We have pleasant words, and we can make you feel good for a little bit as we turn to one another for encouragement. But if you're turning to someone for encouragement and they're not pointing you to God, then the true comfort isn't going to come. It's going to be but momentarily. He was strengthened in his faith. He gave glory to God because he was fully convinced that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. That's why our faith is in Christ. That's why our faith is in the words that God has written in the Holy Scriptures, which we call the Bible. That's why we're fully convinced, because we know as we read these words, God is able to perform way beyond our expectations. And when we see God's hand providing for us, we recognize how true and faithful he really is. And therefore, in verse 22 of chapter 4, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Why? Whenever you see a therefore, you stop to see what it's there for. Because of what we just said, how he was strengthened and given glory and convinced and God's able to perform. Because of this, it was account all God's work. It was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. Why? Because he believed. He did not waver. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. You see how it's beyond us. Do you realize as a body, pray, forgive us of our sins if we confess it personally. We need to do that. We confess it corporately as a body. We need to come clean. Why? Because everything affects one another. And the hindering of the Spirit, because God wants us to be cleansed. That's why we confess our sins as we walk in here, because you know how we are. We can sin in an instant. It wasn't just for Abraham, but also for us. It was to be imputed to us who believe in him who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. You see, he's pointing to Paul as an example of what he put his faith in, as an example to us so that we can do the same. Speaking of the resurrection, of course. As we do that, then you're going to be fully convinced, strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, because you know that you know that you know you know that God is faithful and able to perform by His Word, by His Spirit, in your life unto glory. Eternity is ours because we believe. It says, who was delivered up for our offenses. Christ suffered for us and was raised up for our justification. Therefore, having been justified by faith, how are we justified? By our goodness? Our works? Nope. Our faith. Being justified by our faith, we have peace with God. And through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The ABCs of faith, as I call them. Notice, once we've been justified, peace of God is with us. And through access to what? To God, in verse 2. Through whom we also have access by this faith that we've placed in Christ. It now gives us access into the very throne room of God as we can come before the Lord freely. But I'm a sinner, I can't. That's every one of us. When we sin, we don't want to go around people that are proclaiming Christ. We think that we're denied access because we've failed. God knows you're going to fail. He knows you will fail. He knows you have failed. He knows you're going to fail in the future. Doesn't give us a reason to sin, but when we fail, we know that we have access to Christ. We can come before Him and confess our sins boldly. We have access to Christ, it says, by faith, into this grace, and we stand. There's boldness. Turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11. According to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access. So we have access, we have boldness, and then notice what else it says. With confidence through faith in Him alone. In Him, no one else. Confidence through faith in Him. We have access to God. We have boldness with God. We have confidence in God that He's able to perform all that He said He can. The ABCs of faith. Whenever you're falling or wavering, if you will, in unbelief at the promises of God, strengthen yourselves. Know that you have access. Know that you have boldness with Him. You can go before Him and you can say, God, help me. I'm a sinner, but I come to you because I know you've opened the door. I know that I can speak to you freely. I have confidence in you, God, that you can cleanse me of my sin, that you can make my wrongs right. Lord God, that you can provide for me in every aspect of my life. The ABCs. It says in verse 3 of chapter 5 of Romans, and not only that. Okay, that's not enough. You want more? I'll give you more. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. As I was speaking to you earlier,
We glory in tribulations? Wait a minute. I know I have access and boldness and confidence with God, and that's good enough for me, Lord. That's great. That's terrific. No, but there's going to be trials and tribulations in your life. And you know what he says? You're going to be able to glory in them. How many times have you guys gone through something, and yet there's a peace and a power within you that is unsurpassable? You're hitting rock bottom. You know this is hurting you. It's painful what you're going through, but yet there's a smile on your face. I'm reminded of the time that I got burnt with electricity. I used to have this long hair, and it all got burnt. And it was like sticking up. I had to cut it short. It was hilarious. I looked funny, I got to admit. One of the things that pops into my mind when it says, you know, that we'll glory in tribulations is when I went to the hospital, I was in the emergency room, and I'm toast, literally, you know. Hair, face, eyebrows, mustache, hand, chest, everything's burnt. And I'm kind of laying there. My mom's crying. She thought I might have died. My aunt was crying and my brother was crying. And look at my wife. She was crying. But I'm all burnt, you know. And the nurse is cleaning me up. There's all this crusty black stuff on me and, you know, burnt hair stuff. She's cleaning me up. And she got to my chest and, oh, you burnt your chest hair. And I go, both of them? And she cracked up, laughed, says, you're half dead. You're not supposed to be popping jokes. But glorying in tribulation, that's what it reminds me of. It was like, once I got to the hospital, yes, I was in pain. I knew it was going to take a while to get well. But it was like, praise God. 2 months earlier, I had given my life to the Lord when I was going through the fires, literally, going through the fires. Everything was cool. I was at peace. I was just lighting up like a Christmas tree. And I just knew that if I'm dead, I've given my life to the Lord. Everything's good. The real drag was when I realized I wasn't dead and I was still here. And it was just like, there's a joy in tribulations. We glory. We have the ability to rise up and stand in the midst of our problems, our hurts, our difficulties. Not only that, we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Glorying in the tribulations. Perseverance. As I was up this morning reviewing, I thought, perseverance? What does the dictionary say about perseverance? So I looked up all these perseverance, character, hope. Perseverance, it says, to pursue any design. Any design. As an electrical contractor, I look at designs all the time. It's a map for me, and I just start working and going through it. And as you start doing that, it starts to unfold a little bit more, and we start to gather a little bit of understanding. The perseverance, it means to pursue any design. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, it says something really interesting. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. It's the power of God. The message of the cross, as you tell people this is the way to salvation, they look at you and they think, how can this be? That's stupid. All I have to do is say a prayer, you know, and ask God into my heart and believe and confess with my mouth. And that's dumb. I don't understand that. Why? Because it's a spiritual thing. When somebody gives their life to the Lord, it's the Spirit of God flowing and touching that person. Once that happens, it doesn't just become words, but it becomes a rhema word, a word spoken by God that penetrates even to the deepest parts of your bone and marrow, if you will. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. When I was perishing prior to giving my life to the Lord and I'd hear it, it was like, it was a struggle to understand that. But to us who are being saved, you see, it's a process continually growing up in Christ. We're being saved as we move through all these different things in our life. To those of us who are being saved, it's the power of God. It's the power of God. And I can build up perseverance through the tribulations that God has allowed into my life. And as I build up perseverance, I can pursue any design. Even the design of the cross, which was designed for you and me to attain glory with God in heaven. I can pursue any design that is filled by the power of God. So when God, as I read through His Word, gives me instruction in righteousness and correction which hurts, and all these other things, you know, that sometimes we're not too quick to announce to the world that the Bible says, but as believers being saved, we recognize that it's the power of God working in our life to change us from glory to glory to glory to glory. Perseverance. Not only that, it'll grow perseverance in us. And then perseverance will lead to character. And I looked up that word in Webster's, and it said distinctive qualities of a person. This perseverance, as I go through the trials and tribulations that's being built up in me, will develop a character inside of me by certain qualities that are going to be instilled in me that'll give glory to God, the Maker, our Creator. How many of you have distinctive qualities of God in your person? That word character, not only in English, but also in the original language, means a certificate of qualifications. What are your qualifications for being a Christian? What are our qualifications as we've gone through life and God has allowed things to come about? As the perseverance starts to grow and you get stronger and stronger, and then all of a sudden your character starts to develop and now you have a certificate. What's wrong with you? You're half dead. You shouldn't be making jokes. Yeah, but I have a certificate. I have a promise from God Almighty that I am saved. Whether I go through the fires or I'm overcome by the waters of life, I have a certificate that God says in His Word, and I'm not going to waver on the promises of God, that this certificate is signed by Him in His blood that I can overcome. Amen? That's what it's all about. And others will see this, and they'll be drawn to Christ by you. Next time you look in the mirror, say, I don't see how, Lord, but I believe. I believe. This perseverance will develop character, distinctive qualities. This character will turn into hope. It'll bring you hope. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20, it says, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. Earnest expectation and hope. How many of you have an earnest expectation of getting to heaven? How many of you have an earnest expecting hope to get to heaven? You can hardly wait. How many of you have prayed as you go through tribulations or trials, oh God, this would be a good time for you to come right now? He says, wait, I'm building a little bit more perseverance in you. Hang on, I'll be there. Sit tight. That's what our hope is like. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. We have the hope of being with God right now. Nothing, what's to hold us back? Nothing on this earth is worth losing sight of eternal salvation through Christ. We have that expectational hope of seeing Him. But for me to live right now is Christ. God, I remember praying as I was back to my senses when I got electrocuted and realizing I wasn't dead. I remember praying, God, if You have something for me here, then bring it about. Bring it about. Why? Because I'm a Christian now. And for me to live is Christ. You see, for us to live, the very reason that you're alive now is to tell others about Christ. It's for us to shine, to let people know. Yes, we long to die, in a sense. We long to be with the Lord. But to live is Christ. Our hope goes on to say back in Romans chapter 5, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. It is a gift of God. In fact, Romans 8:26 says, Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness. How many of you are weak when we go through trials and tribulation, trying to find comfort among men and women and friends and relatives? But it's the Spirit who helps us in our weakness, no one else. Cry out, ask God to fill you with His Spirit. For we do not know what we should pray as we ought. What we usually do is say, Lord, let this pass quickly. Take this from me. But that's not always the answer, is it? We do not always pray as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You see, when you stand before the Lord or kneel before the Lord and you pray and you think you're prayed out, God bless this person, God help that person, God save this person, God bring this person back, God provide for my needs, God, all these things that we pray that we need to pray about. And then you're like, I can't think of anything else, Lord. Oh, and the people who are fighting the war, Lord. And you realize you haven't been able to think of anything else, but it doesn't mean you're done yet. Sit there, stand there, kneel there quietly, and let the Holy Spirit just flow. Let the Holy Spirit, as He flows through you, bring out an utterance, perhaps tongues, not in church typically, but in your prayer closet, perhaps. Or He'll bring things to your mind as you start praying again. And things that you haven't thought of start to come. Just be patient. Just wait there. And even if nothing comes out, you're standing, you're kneeling before the Lord in prayer, and the Spirit is having communion with you. It's a beautiful thing. Prayer is a beautiful thing. It's hard for me sometimes to just pray when you're just someplace. But you know when the Holy Spirit is ushering. Sometimes, you know what's hard for me is when people say, let's pray. And I'm like, I just asked you if you want to shoot some basketball, you know? And I feel like almost I trip, you know, because it wasn't on my mind. I'm thinking something else. Yeah, okay, let's get the basketball. Well, let's pray. But there's times when we're doing something or we're speaking of something, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God moves through you or through them, and you're talking about something, and you can tell when the Spirit of God is just blending hearts and knitting souls together by the Spirit of God in prayer. Never, ever stop praying. And don't neglect it when the opportunity is there. We see that hope does not disappoint. Back in Romans, it's a Spirit that's working in our hearts that's given to us. For in verse 6, when we are still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Who is able to stand? You know, we're all ungodly. Who's able to stand? Those of us who, back to your ABCs, have access to God, boldness with God, confidence in God. In other words, reconciliation with God. For scarcely a righteous man will die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Christ, through Him. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. While we were enemies, benefits of reconciliation with God are what? We shall be saved, it says in verse 10. Much more than having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Are there benefits in reconciliation with God, getting things right with God? Of course. You'll be saved. And not only that, in verse 11, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. We rejoice. But you see, that's for you. That's for me. That's one of the things that reconciliation is. But there's much more. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. You see, it's not just for us. It's not just for you and me. God has a much bigger plan. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. How many of you knew that as you were saved and you rejoice in it, and now you understand that you're reconciled to God, have understood that now you have a ministry? I'm not leading a Bible study. I'm not doing anything like that. No, but once you stepped into that realm, you have a ministry. It's a ministry of reconciliation, it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. God has allowed all these things to come about so that you can take the message of reconciliation to someone else. And you can be an example. You can have boldness and confidence and access to God in a form that you can go ahead to people and tell them, look, this is for you as well. I'm glorying in my tribulations. I see that you recognize that. But let me tell you about the one who has brought the glory in, or the joy into my heart. Let me tell you about the maker of my soul. He's the maker of your soul too. You too can be reconciled to Christ. And not only that, once you're reconciled to Christ, then Christ starts working on a more level ground and you're able to reconcile with those whom perhaps there's a wall. Something that time or sin or hurt has built up, and there's a wall between you and that person, and now God can use you to reconcile. The Bible says that we're to be at peace with other people as much as is possible with you. And if you're able to go to someone, if the doors are open and that person is willing and you're able to go to them and make peace with someone perhaps that you are at odds with, then make peace with them. Be a minister, be a leader of your ministry in the form of reconciliation, because God has made you a minister of reconciliation. Isn't it cool? All this gives glory to God. All this brings us back to what we said back in chapter 4, that we will not waver, that we will be strengthened. We'll be giving glory to God. We'll be fully convinced because He's what? Able to perform. Amen. God bless you. Have a blessed week.